Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is David and of course it's one past three on a Friday afternoon, which means it can only be time for us to join the team news guru himself, the predicted lineup expert. He's not going to like that expression, but we're going to use it anyway. It's Neil, of course, editor of the site as well. He spent basically all day yesterday and all day today popping his head into multiple press conferences. And here we are, ready to access the team news once again for another game week deadline, this time game week four. How are you feeling, Neil?
All right. Yeah, this is the fourth, I think. Isn't it the fourth straight Friday deadline? It's been quite hectic over the last month, I think. And then after that, I think we're back to Saturdays for quite a long time. So I'm quite looking forward to that because it's a bit frenzy trying to not just deliver the team news updates, but then say if there's any other quotes of note. Like we got last week, for example, from De Zerbi on Pedro and Ferguson. So I'm quite looking forward to having the Saturday deadlines back.
Yeah, me as well. I mean, everything sort of gets crammed in very closely. And of course, we do have a little bit of, should we call it chaos, in the maybe the last half an hour before the deadline. Because we sit here and we listen to you and Joe go through all the team news. And then there's even more stuff comes out just before that Friday night deadline as well, with whatever the game is on the Friday as well. So it's honestly, what is the world coming to these days? Give me a traditional Saturday game week. I probably sound like a grumpy old millennial now. But hey, that's the situation we're in. We've already got loads of people in the chat. We've got 292 people watching already. Thanks very much for joining us. There's a lot of speculation about a lot of things. A lot of people want to hear about Fulham, for example. In fact, Colm is suggesting with the Polina off to Bayern and Harrison, well, potentially off to Bayern, and Harrison Reed rumours of leaving as well. Might we see Luis Boa-Morte put on his boots? That would be a blast from the past. And Geo Boy says, does Emery sleep in on Fridays? Do you know on that one particular, Neil?
We are expecting something. I saw one of the Birmingham Live reporters in the conference room ready and waiting recently. So that might be happening around about now. It was, I think, scheduled for around about one or two. Haven't had anything. But if we don't get anything, we have at least got quotes from last night to go off after the Hibs game.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that is very useful. There's a double-edged sword of a midweek game. Yes, your players might get injured, but at the very least, fingers crossed, if the journalists aren't asked the right questions, you might know the answer. So yeah, we'll jump into Aston Villa very shortly. And also some lovely comments in chat, for example. FEL Scoped is only here for Neil, to be honest. That's absolutely fair enough. I'm just moonlighting for Joe today, to be honest. So don't blame me there. Paul H says, Neil, the man, the legend. Can completely agree with that one. FPL Rank Chaser appears to be the only one who's excited about me being here. Says good afternoon, Mr. Monday and Neil. So thank you, I appreciate that.
Thanks, everybody. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we have to say that this is one of the most watched videos of the week because it is just so important. So it's good to have everybody here. And without wanting to put the pressure on, FBL Rank Chaser does say that he can't wait to see Neil's predicted City lineup as well. How are you feeling on that one?
Well, funnily enough, I think I might have had the work done for me because the new In the North City account has tweeted out that there's a couple of surprises tomorrow, and then retweeted Luke's predicted lineup. So we might be, Luke might have hit again, got 11 out of 11 on that front. So I'll talk you through what Luke said and then why Main Road account tweeted it. off the back of that.
Love that. Well, stay tuned, of course, for the Man City update, which we're gonna go through each of the games in schedule order. So we'll start with Luton and West Ham in just a minute. I'm not going to be so annoying and to say we'll only talk through what Niels has talked about if we can get everybody in the chat liking the video. I'm not going to go that far, but I'm not going to not go that far. So get those likes in. 459 of you watching. Only 52 likes. Let's bump that up. Now, before we go any further, just a quick reminder, of course, Fantasy Football Scout membership is still 30% off on those preseason prices. So if you haven't sorted that out before the game, deadline, get that sorted, because it will help you with some of those last minute decisions, I can guarantee you. And if you want to see some of that in action, I'm going to be in a deadline stream with Sam later on at 5 o'clock, using the members area to help fuel some of my transfers and help answer some of your questions as well. And one last thing before we do get started is, if you've got questions in the chat, perhaps maybe about what you should do with your team, transfer related things, all that sort of stuff, this video is purely about team news. So this is injury updates, team news, predicted lineups for all of the teams. If you want more information on what you think, what we think you should do with your team, then join us for the deadline stream, when we can have more of a focus on the actionables from the team news information that we're going to get in this one. So as we said, we're going to start, of course, with the Friday night game, which is the very first Premier League game at Kenilworth Road this millennium. And so that's Luton against West Ham. And it sounds like it's relatively quiet on the injury front for the hosts, but a few little bits and bobs to clear up for David Moyes' side.
Yeah, very straightforward for Luton. It's the same trio who are out. No fresh concerns, as revealed by Rob Edwards yesterday, it was, because, of course, that was a Thursday presser in advance of the Friday game. So that is Osho and two others. I've got the names for you in a second. I'm well prepared, clearly. I just realised I had a second press conference roundup yesterday. Yeah, Potts, Clark and Osho, they're still out. No fresh concerns. As for West Ham, again, this was a press conference yesterday. We might get more of a heads-up tonight on the starting lineup. I think it should be fairly easy to predict, because they are coming off the back of a win, and Moyes didn't like to tinker too much after a victory. So Agüero's back. He's someone who could come in for Ogbonna at centre-half. He served a one-game bang. He's fit. Mavropanos is still not match fit enough to feature, it sounds like. And then Suchek's the new red flag. He was taken off last weekend, and he's got to observe the concussion protocol. But this being a Friday night game, this is the sixth and final day, so he can't feature. So we might see what happens during the game at Brighton with Benrahma coming on, and then a slight rejig with Paqueta and Ward-Prowse joining Alvarez in the middle. They've also got Kudus as well, the new signing, but I suspect he'll be introduced gradually off the bench.
Yeah, it certainly makes a lot of sense. I suppose there's going to be people certainly interested in this particular game. The fact that Luton aren't necessarily all that dissimilar from last week is probably not necessarily an issue, really, because they have sort of struggled to really make their mark in the Premier League so far. So there's not really anything here that would you say would put off people, perhaps maybe starting Areola this week. I know that's slightly more tactical than strictly just about team news, but it is sort of on people's minds.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, they're a work in progress. Luton has tweaks he can make here and there, like possibly Doughty coming back in for Giles on the left flank and make them slightly more resolute, I think, on that side, from what I've heard from Luton fans. Brown could come in up top, but it's minor tweaks here and there rather than a complete revolution of the system, which I think is going to be still the 3-5-2 with high-pushing wing-backs.
Yeah, certainly makes a lot of sense. I suppose in their first game in the Premier League for some time, you know, they might be up for it. And certainly a team that has largely played in those first couple of games might be useful to do that. But yeah, lots of interest in West Ham. Lots of questions about what we should do with West Ham players. We're going to answer those in more detail on the deadline stream, so join us for that as well. Just a quick reminder there. So let's head off to another newly promoted team this time. Let's go to South Yorkshire and Sheffield United. They host Everton on Saturday lunchtime in what is already being described as a game on this Saturday, but also, of course, very much a six-pointer as well between these two sides. And we've got Archer, now a Sheffield United player, which is great for people who already had two Aston Villa players. So you're not locked into that triple up anymore, because he is now a Sheffield United player. Question, of course, is he going to feature this weekend? And Everton have also got themselves a new striker as well. He's still going through his Beto testing, shall we say, but he certainly sounds like he's available and ready to go.
Yeah, both of them in contention to start, by the sounds of it. Starting with the host, I think, Sheffield United. They've still got a few, more than a few, red flags. So Lowe, Fleck, Brewster, Norton, Davies, Jebison, I think they're all out. Osborne's joined them as well. He's sustained groin damage last weekend. So that's why they brought in a new left wing back. He's priced at 4 million by FPL. That's Luke Thomas on loan from Leicester City. So he could be in for his debut. Tom Davies still short of match fitness as well. But yeah, Cameron Archer's the big one from FPL perspective. He got, I think it was an hour in midweek against Lincoln City, and Heckenbottom said that was with a view to building him up for this weekend. Same with McBurney, of course, who's been there a long time, but he's just back from injury. So they, I think from what I've been hearing from like FPL Blade and others, that is presumably going to be the first choice strike partnership going forward, Archer and McBurney. Archer being the 4.5 million option. And they were partnered together against Lincoln to try and build their stamina levels up. And Heckenbottom has got a reputation of being a little bit economical with the truth, but he did say that Archer was definitely in contention. He said that was his words, definitely in contention to feature this weekend.
I think there's going to also be a lot of interest. I suppose we haven't actually really talked about this yet. Apologies for those of you who are Transfer Deadline Day fans, of which I'm sure there are many. It is Transfer Deadline Day today, and I suppose the one thing that I've seen from Sheffield United that people are interested in is this rumour of George Baldock going to Turkey. Is it Galatasaray or Fenerbahce? I actually can't remember which of the Turkish teams it is that he's linked with, but has there been any discussion of that in the press conferences? Because, of course, some people look at this game and they look at the fact that, you know, Beto is this new striker who's, you know, not played in the Premier League before. Calvert-Lewin is touch and go. That old chestnut's back from Sean Dyche. We've got McNeil. We've got Harrison not available. Iwobi could be leaving. So there's interest in that Sheffield United clean sheet. But some people might be a bit nervous starting Baldock in light of the transfer situation. I wondered if there was anything that you'd seen today.
Well, Heckenbottom's presser was yesterday for starters, so he hasn't mentioned obviously anything today. The one I'd seen was AK Athens, because I think Baldock plays for Greece, is that right? He's a Greece international.
Of course he is, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I think there was links there. I'm not seeing anything concrete on that since. I was even considering starting him myself, but there is that caveat with a lot of players this afternoon. On just segueing on Everton, actually, because I didn't do the team news. As you said there, Beto's in with a chance of starting by the sounds of it. Dyche said he's ready physically, he's up for it. He was quite very, very praiseworthy, Dyche, in his presser yesterday, so he looks in line to start. Even more so that Calvert-Lewin's still a doubt, I think. He's not going to need surgery on that cheekbone, but Dyche was implying heavily that he wasn't going to be risked with an international break coming up. McNeil, similar sort of thing. He's back in training now. He's missed the start of the season with an ankle problem, but he's trained fully, I think, from Thursday onwards. So he could be, you know, he could be involved on the bench at the very least. I think his fitness levels are pretty good anyway. His base fitness level, so I would say he's likely to feature than Calvert-Lewin if any of them do. On the injury list, confirmed out, Dele Alli, Jack Harrison, he was short of match fitness. Iwobi, of course, is probably off somewhere else anyway. Coolman and Mikalenko looks unlikely to feature as well.
Well, yeah, very long list there. One last question before we move on. Touch and go, that's back. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, good to have that one back after a while. Yeah, he was trying out some new material, but thankfully he's gone back to the original stuff.
The tried and tested.
The fans' favourites.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, let's move on to Brentford and Bournemouth now. So we've got Damsgaard ruled out. And what I do quite like is that the social media team at Fantasy Football Scout always like to remind us that Ivan Toney is, of course, suspended for this game, as you would expect. The list of people out of Bournemouth actually is really, really long. And I suppose what's helpful to understand, perhaps, is just how many of their first-choice players that really is and how much fantasy managers should be licking their lips at the list of absentees at Bournemouth. They're probably the sort of talking points there.
Yeah, they've got seven players red or orange flagged. Five of them definitely out. Two of them probably not going to be risked, certainly not from the start. So Adam Smith, Fredericks, McCondes and Scott. I'll omit Smith from that list. Adams, Fredericks, Tavernius, Scott and Uattara, they're all red flagged and probable first teamers, a lot of them. Certainly Adams and Scott are, maybe Smith as well. Tavernier, you could argue. Smith and Tavernier are the ones who could return. They've been back in light training this week, partly in training. And they could be involved this weekend. But even then, Arola said that they might not risk them with an international break coming up. So, yeah, there's maybe half the team, half the starters in the long term who are not available. Certainly, you could argue four of those. But yeah, they're in pretty much the same position as they were last week. As for Brentford, you mentioned there, Damsgaard unavailable. He missed the last two in the League Cup anyway. He's out, as you said, Tony on the sidelines, which is going to be copy and paste until January. De Silva and Baptiste, their longer-term injuries as well. Ben Mee's back, though. He came, returned from a calf injury in the EFL Cup in midweek. He played, I think, 77 minutes. That was his first minutes of the season. And he's now in contention for the weekend as well.
That's definitely a good sign, I think, for the Brentford defence. Even if he's not necessarily played that much this season, of course, you'd argue, I would imagine, that he's one of their first choice centre backs and makes that back four better.
He's certainly, when he's fit, I think he would have started the season definitely as part of that two with Pinnock. But now Collins has come in, I do wonder whether Frank will stick with that pairing for now. Mee was absolutely. It was a revelation last year. I had doubts, but when he signed, because of his age and the team he played for previously, but he was excellent. But yeah, there's a bit of a question mark there as to whether he comes straight back in or whether Collins keeps his place.
Well, speaking of his previous team, let's head up to Lancashire now to have a look at Burnley's game against Spurs. And there's also some good news here, I think, as well, I think, for fantasy managers. Not that much investment in Burnley. There is, however, lots of investment in Spurs and, in particular, one number 10, not Harry Kane, James Maddison now. There's a couple of absentees from Burnley this week that, to my... I'm going to describe myself as a team news layman. Because I bow to your experience here. Sounds like they are short of some important defenders, and that's probably good for Maddison.
Yeah, they are. As I said, in the team news predicted lineup, I think the back four almost picks itself this week from Burnley from the options they've got. They lost three players in midweek, so they're already without Chernov, Obafemi, Zaruri, and Jordan Beer, of course, who's one of the first choice defenders when he's fit. They're all out already. And they lost three in midweek, two of them defenders. So Vitinho is one of them. He's having a knee injury assessed. Ramsey, I think, was concussion when he came out. He's the new midfielder from Villa. And then Ekdal, he was the more serious of the three from the Forest game. He was stretchered off, but company did say he thinks he's avoided the more serious types of injury. He's definitely out of this one, of course. So, yeah, they're down to a back four of, what, Roberts, O'Shea, the new lad from Belgium, whose name escapes me. The second Delcroix, I think his name is. And then Al Aguil as well. Still, you know, think much. I don't think they're weakened necessarily too much. Apart from Beer being absent, I think they could have done with a proper left-back in a transfer window, but I'm not sure it's going to happen now because Roberts was filling in there. But yeah, they're down six or seven for this one. They have got a very bloated squad, I have to say, from all the new signs that have come in. It's quite one of the hardest teams to predict every week because company, a bit like Cooper last season, is kind of trying to suss out what the best balance of players is for his team. I think we're getting there, slowly but surely, the likes of Foster and Cullen and Amdouni, but yeah, still some week-to-week uncertainty there.
Yeah, and I suppose the team that they came up with heavily relied, of course, on loan players. So some of those just don't have access to anymore. Mattson, perhaps being the most high profile of those, now getting a decent-ish amount of game time at Chelsea. And so it just, when you've got a team that largely is focused on possession-based football and you know, being able to practice rhythm from one week to the next of creating those passing moves across the pitch, having such a difficult time predicting who's going to start. It's, I don't know, to me just makes it sound like there's, you know, a lot to like here for this Spurs fixture. And I suppose we should just touch probably on Richarlison. We understand that we haven't actually had a specific quote on him, but that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, it sounds like he's all right. I think Postecoglou said the only guy from midweek was Lo Celso. So he's out with a quad injury. And he said that was when the only absentee. So yes, Charleston did come off with a knock, but it sounds like he's all right. Apart from that, it's the whole contingent on the sidelines now all season. Whiteman. Yeah, proof for nothing from the soul. So.
It's possible we might have lost you slightly there, Neil, but I think we've got you back now. I think there's just so much.
I did get a message saying, yeah, I did say, yeah.
We might have
I'll just go back over that. Yeah, Charleston sounds like he's already Celso out. Sessegnon, Hill, Bentancur and Waitman are the others on the sidelines.
Nice one. Yeah, I just think with so much team news coming through on a Friday night deadline, I think it must have just got caught in your router. That's probably what happened there. Too many injury updates at once. Right, let's move over to London now with Chelsea and Forest. It sounds like there's not too much going on here at Chelsea. I suppose the main talking point has been, once again, social media and X specifically, as we are supposed to call it now, seems to have produced another one of these, oh no, we think X player is injured. And Sterling was the most recent one to sort of fall foul of a little bit of a minor bandwagon, but it does seem like that one's been put to bed, much in the same way that the Estupiñán one was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, nothing from Chelsea today on Sterling. There was suggestions, I think, just purely based on the fact that he wasn't involved in the midweek cup game against Wimbledon. And I think he hadn't been seen in training session, but I think Nizar Kinsella, who's a reliable source of Chelsea information, he said he was just rested, and he didn't appear on the injury list today. So Chelsea literally put out an injury list every Friday, just like a bulletin of who's doing what with their rehabilitations, and Sterling's name wasn't on there. Also omitted from that list was Mudryk as well, so he's back in training. He missed out last weekend with a minor issue. Sounds like he's fine. Which leaves, I think, 9 still on the injury list. Nkunku, James, Fofana, Bettinelli, Chalobah, Chuck Womacker, all out. There's 3 who are back in partial team training. That's Lavia, Roja and Badiashile. But the fact that says partial team training, that says to me that they're still a little short of being considered for selection.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And certainly it's nice when teams do put out those bulletins on top of what the managers say as well. I don't know if they still do it, but I remember Arsenal used to do one that was very, very useful, because you could really just rely on that rather than necessarily have to interpret the sort of intonations and the different, you know, sort of go into the semantics of should versus would and et cetera that Arteta might say. So it's probably worth signposting. Like, people can go and have a look for those themselves, can't they, and make up their own mind sometimes on the way they're described, would you say?
Yeah, but you get very few of them now. Villa sometimes do it, and Spurs, Spurs actually, and Chelsea, maybe Man United at times, but apart from that, it's they're few and far between now. I think Arteta has actually put a stop to that, because why would you give away team news information willingly to rivals? So I think I wouldn't be surprised if he's behind that. Stop it.
Yeah, it's very true. Premier League managers are trying to make you redundant, Neil. Fight back. The comeback is on. A team that may need to have a comeback this week is Forest. Anything from us there? Or can we probably just sweep past that, is my guess. Not that much investment, but I suppose there is a bit of interest in Chelsea attack. So.
Yeah, they're going to be without Mangala, it sounds like. McKenna and Santos, of course, can't play against his parent club. Danilo is the newest one. He's picked up an injury. Again, Cooper wasn't quite specific on whether he's going to be out or whether he's going to recover. Joe Worrell is available. He was banned in the EFL Cup, but he's now back from that. He has suffered a very, very sad loss this week. Felipe is back in training, and he was on the bench actually on Wednesday, and Wayne Hennessy's back in training too. So they're getting a few bodies back. They're going to be the one of the busiest clubs this afternoon, I think, by the sounds of it. Johnson sounds like he's on his way, but they've got some new players in coming, so we'll be back where we were 12 months ago when trying to second guess which combination Cooper's going to pick.
Well, good luck to you on that one. I don't envy you at all. Speaking of things that need good luck, especially when it comes to team predicted lineups, we are going to talk about City now. Let's get those likes up a little bit more, because we're talking about City now, and there's been a lot of interest in it. So we will have a look here at the quote from, is it Juan Merlio? Am I pronouncing that correctly? Filling in for Pep once more. That's my rudimentary understanding of Spanish. What's the latest from City? And I suppose, yeah, we rumours and rumblings that one Luke may have stumbled upon the winning formula.
Yeah, as usual, as he often does. Team news is pretty simple. Foden's fine. I mean, he was on the bench last weekend, but he's now free from the symptoms of his gastric illness. Kanji's probably back. Stone sounds like he's had a schedule as well. The Pep's number 2, I'll call him, rather than butcher his name, said that Kanji's problem was more prevention and that he's more or less there. So that's maybe slightly some doubt. And he said the same about Stones. He's more or less there. So it's only really De Bruyne who's on the long-term lists and red flagged. Speaking of that predicted team, I'll try and dredge it up, actually. It's So there's a new Twitter account if you're not on X or the other social media channels called, I think it's FPL Main Road or something like that. And FPL Main Road, that's him. And he's a fairly reliable source of information. I wouldn't stop short of saying he's gospel. And even he himself says, the day before game stuff can change. He originally said that there's a couple of surprises there tomorrow. And most of the FPL assets that we were interested in are starting. Luke had done a predicted lineup before that. And the surprises in his lineup were Doku in for Grealish and Kanji, I think, in for Gvardiol. Apart from that, I think it's pretty much the same team. And then that was retweeted by FPL Main Road with two eyes as an emoji. And I think he said he thinks this is close to the team as it stands now. But he is sceptical because of the slight random picks of Doku and Ake. That's the best guess we've got at the moment.
I suppose what people are going to be wondering about Foden specifically, I'm just going to stick up on the screen just so that people are aware. If you're not aware already, Neil, of course, also does the predicted lineups on the Fantasy Football Scout website. And at this particular point in time on a Friday, they're not always ready yet because, of course, Neil's got to go away in a few minutes and sort of process a lot of the information that he's had here and then put that into these predicted lineups. So right now, what I'm screenshotting probably isn't completely up to date, Man City predicted lineup. But after this, keep an eye on that. Just keep F5-ing that page all afternoon. F5 that rather than the FPL servers so that the servers don't go down. F5 this. But yeah, Foden, what were we thinking with him? Was he in that lineup? Just for those who've not seen
it. He was coming off right again as he was last week with sort of moving centrally alongside Alvarez and Haaland.
Amazing. That is very good news. And briefly before we move on, Fulham, Polinia sort of transfer rumours, but he's fit otherwise, right? Because he's a big integral part of this Fulham midfield and they're weaker without him and they're stronger with him. And of course, people were going to have a lot of interest in the City attack.
Yeah, very much so. He has trained, but by the sounds of it, he may be off by the end of the day. Fulham's desperately trying to get a replacement. So they're going to be possibly short of options in the midfield, which makes for an even more attractive pick tomorrow. Same with Alvarez and Haaland, of course. They have got Reem and Bassey back at the back, but it's, as I said, in the engine room where there's problems. So Kearney limped off midweek. He's in doubt with a knee problem. Sasa Lucic is another one who's out. He had been deputising while Pralbini has been out, but he's now out. I think we got a knock, but wasn't mentioned yesterday. I think Silva sort of mentioned knocks as a general concern. Reed is flagged, so I think he's less of a worry. I think the bigger worry with Reed is he may be off as well. I think Wolves were linked with him. Bayern's linked with Palinha, so very, very few people left to play in the engine room. And the other injury note from Fulham, I think, was Willian. He missed out in the last two in League and Cup, but he's feeling better, or getting better, according to Silva. So he could be involved.
Awesome. Yeah, interesting to know. And certainly that almost sort of like threadbare nature of Fulham is perhaps what's triggering. There is a super chat that's coming from Johannes, who's asked if we should triple captain Haaland for this game week. As we said before, for deeper strategy, the team news stream is more about who's starting games, who's injured, etc. If you want more information on that, then do come to our deadline stream. I would be tempted to say like maybe, but join us on the deadline stream and we can talk about that in more detail, Johannes, if you can join us for that. But enough of all these small teams, Neil. Let's talk about the biggest team in the land, according to some. It's Brighton against Newcastle. What can you tell us about this game and the injuries and team news here?
Brighton's fairly straightforward. Welbeck's joined and Ciso out, which is good news for Pedro because that could and Ferguson, because if those two are out then they could be reunited in attack, although they have got Lallana as well. Ansu Fati is signed, but he's not going to be available for his debut this weekend. As for Newcastle, we've got our own concerns actually, Botman being one of them. It sounds like he will miss out, although how being Howe's left the door ajar for a possible appearance. Both Botman and Joe Linton have picked up injuries in game week three, and they've only been doing light jogging this week rather than full training. Ankle for Botman and a knee injury for Joe Linton. Howe said that Botman's only got a small chance, so there is a chance, possibly, but I suspect he's out. And Joe Linton is, I think, slightly ahead of him. He's feeling better with each day. Hasn't been in full training, but could be involved. Apart from that, I think just the usual who are out, Kraft and Willock, medium-term ones. Willock could be back after the international break. And Lewis Hall's still short of match fitness by the sounds of it, so don't think we'll see him either.
Definitely the best news out of that is that the Botman injury isn't as bad as it sounded, because I don't think people were interested in their Newcastle defenders just yet. It's kind of game week six onwards, and it kind of sounds like Botman's probably going to be fine by then if he's in with a chance for this week. You know, if there's a decision on game week four, game week six, he should hopefully be fine by then.
Yeah, with the break coming up as well, the fortnight hiatus, I did see suggestions that it was 2 to 3 weeks, possibly. That's not confirmed, but that would bring him back into contention, certainly for game week six, I think.
Yeah, definitely very useful. Well, Brighton, of course, last week were a team that confirmed whether or not a certain player was or wasn't starting. Their A23, I think I've got the correct road, rivals. Crystal Palace are the ones who've obliged in that regard this week, fresh from scoring 4 goals at Home Park in Plymouth, which not many people can do, to be honest. Roy Hodgson has confirmed that Sam Johnston, don't worry guys, is still going to start this week despite them adding Dean Henderson to the squad, because there is a lot of interest in Johnston in FPL at the moment.
Yeah, he's going to start this one at least. Beyond that, there's obviously a little bit of doubt. I think Johnston would still have to fall out of form for that to happen. Given that he's waited patiently for his chance. But yeah, there was quite a lengthy quote. I've put it on the Scout team news roundup this afternoon about his goalkeepers from Hodgson. And he talked at length about having competition between the two and never knowing what's around the corner in terms of injuries and that. So there is that nagging uncertainty. But Johnston has the shirt for now. I don't think there's much new on the team's front. Frank, Erin and Alicia, the two wingers, are still out for the foreseeable. Will Hughes could be back, I think, but again, he's not going to trouble the starting 11. Palace are playing Wolves, is that right? Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Wolves, I think, yeah, we didn't get much from Gary O'Neill yesterday, but he was one of the managers who spoke after the EFL Cup, and he said then that Hwang's got a decent chance of recovering, actually, for this Palace game. He did his hamstring last weekend, so we thought that was it. But apparently he's in contention, and Hodge is the only other absentee. He's definitely going to be out of this one. He has got a hamstring injury, some severity. And of course, they've lost Nunez as well, who is off to City. So they have a gap to plug there.
Yeah, it's been a difficult few days for Wolves fans and difficult few weeks and months in many ways. Speaking of difficult weeks and months, we do just have to check on one thing, especially as Rodriv in the chat wants to know, any news on Nathan Ferguson? Has he made a, quote, miracle recovery?
No, he's out still. He's not even listed in FPL.
The computer says no every
week.
They're
just giving up. Yeah.
Right, let's move on to Liverpool and Aston Villa. The biggest news here, really, in terms of absentees, of course, is Van Dijk suspended.
He is. Yes, he is. Yeah, he's out, and his regular centre-half partner, which is Canati, he's still sidelined as well. He's got a muscle issue. I don't think it's too serious. So, looks like Matip and Gomez is again at centre-half. Mind you, they didn't do too badly against Newcastle. Sadly, apart from that, I think it's just Thiago who's red flagged. He was due to be back in training this week, but had a minor setback. He should be fine after the break. Jones is back in training; he's all right. And Klopp said everyone else was fit. And at the time of writing, Salah remains a Liverpool player, and that could change, of course, in not just tonight, but in the coming weeks with the Saudi deadline dragging on and on and on beyond this week. So. I think Klopp was pretty adamant that he's not going anywhere, though.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly one to watch, and there's no rush for that to happen today, really. I suppose the thing here is that the squad doesn't look too bad overall, but they are actually quite short in the centre-back area, which is obviously quite important. And there is interest in Watkins, or people are wondering about selling Watkins. Diaby's done well as well. Even Matty Cash is up there as well. Any updates from Villa that those eyeing up the Liverpool defence should be aware of?
Well, this off this call yesterday after the Hibs game, Martinez was still a doubt for this one. Actually, it's on the website now. See what he says in the pressure. This has just come up in the last 24 minutes. Don't think there's anything new on there. So yeah, last night, Emery said that Martinez was hopefully going to be back, but couldn't say for certain. And they've still got Buendia, Coutinho, who's probably on his way, Mings, and Ramsey sidelined. I think Moreno as well. He's the closest to coming back. But I think this might be too soon for him. But I don't think there's anything new from last night. I mean, he mostly played the second string anyway yesterday, having been 5-0 up from the first leg. So a lot of the key names got a rest last night.
Yeah, that is very encouraging for those interested in Villa. Lars in the chat said, did you say Diaby was questionable? I think that might be aimed at me. No, I said there was interest in him as an FPL asset. Don't worry. We haven't heard anything to suggest that Diaby is a doubt for this game. The final game this week, of course, is the big clash between Arsenal and Man United. I suppose the biggest news here is actually a new signing in Manchester.
Yes, Hoyland's, he's going to feature, whether or not it's from the start, but... that remains to be seen. Ten Hag did say he was fit. He thinks he's fit to start, and he's definitely going to be involved. So we will see him. Who else have they got? Well, they've got quite a long list of players. Are actually Varane's joined that list this week for possibly up to a month. Mount's still out. Shaw's still out. Malacia, Heaton, Mainoo, Ahmed Diallo as well. They're all out. They have got to have got Højlund back. Arsenal, we didn't get any team news at all, actually, from Arteta. There is a broadcast, an embargo section, which will be fat use when it comes out tonight, but you might have discussed something there. We didn't think it was anything to worry about anyway. Elneny and Timber were the long-term ones, and Tomiyasu was suspended, but now he's free from that ban. And Ketia, Hank got a knock last weekend, but there was I think that's been quickly dismissed, and he's even in the England squad now, so... Everything seems fine there. So just those two long-term ones that were concerned about. I have actually got now the Villa team news, fresh from Bobby Mohi. And Martinez has trained this morning. So that sounds good for him being involved at Anfield. Moreno's still out, so he hasn't quite made this one. So the usual ones, I think. I think all the aforementioned names, they are still out. Bertrand Traoré has joined that list. He missed out last night with a minor muscle issue. He's joined that list as well. So, but having Martinez back's a boon for Villa, I think, because he's going to be busy on Sunday.
Yeah, he definitely is. And then just, I suppose the other thing that's really quite interesting is that Reguilon has now arrived at United, and the quote is, he's here and he's trained, but we don't have any indication whether or not he's going to start. And it's actually worth pointing out, on FPL, he's still a Spurs player. So if you have three Spurs players, you can't even sign him yet. So, the weird one.
I don't think he's actually been officially unveiled yet, has he? I think officially announced that. I'm trying to have a look.
Oh, really? So the first, I'd assumed that had happened because I'd seen the quotes from Ten Hag saying that he was here and he's trained. So yeah. Maybe sounds like the media team is a bit behind the times.
Well, you're right. He has trained today, but and in the press conference he said the signing is imminent. So he's not actually officially signed yet, but he's now training with his soon to be teammates. So I don't know if they'll have that done in time. Oh, they're playing on Sunday, aren't they? So maybe they will have that done in time for Sunday's game. But a bit of relief for Shaw and Malacia, who were injured. Darlow played there last week, so hopefully, if you're a Saka winner like I am, then I say Reguilon's not fit. I don't think Reguilon's any great shakes himself, is he? He's never known for his defensive prowess. So I wouldn't be daunted by Saka facing him or Darlow on his wrong side.
Well, I mean, the thing for me is if you've got a very marauding wing back and Postecoglou doesn't want to use him, what does that say?
Yeah.
Because he loves those kind of players. So I kind of assumed he would be heavily involved in the big rotation, and he just hasn't been. So, yeah, it's a good point. Maybe he does better in that team. He's 4.4. So if he can earn himself a place and do well, then it's maybe worth thinking about. But, let's just have a quick roundup before Neil heads off and does the rest of the team news and lineups, which is a very involved job. So we won't keep him too much longer. But just to go through the main roundup. So we've got Archer, McBurnie, Sterling, Foden, Akanji, Reguilon and Højlund are fit to play. We don't know if they necessarily will play. And it sounds like Reguilon might not be able to play because he's, you know, not signed on yet, and we don't have a column for that, so apologies, guys. Those who are questionable, we've got Calvert-Lewin, McNeil. Richarlison is under the questionable because he came off with a knock, but he's probably okay. It's just that we haven't had confirmation of it, so I've stuck him in there. Do have a look for more detail so you can make your own decision. Stones, Botman, Joelinton and Hwang, also in the sort of questionable department. Major doubts around Vitinho, Willian, Kearney, Smith and Tavernier. I think I've said that right. And then those that are out, I couldn't fit them all on, but the ones that are freshly out, and we've had confirmation of them being freshly out today, Osho at Luton, Soucek and Mavropanos at West Ham, Osborne at Sheffield United, Harrison at Everton, Damsgaard, Ekdal and Bayer, Lo Celso, Welbeck, Van Dijk and Thiago, all for different reasons, which you can see on the screen. Now, before I let you all head off and start making decisions about your team, just a final reminder to head to Fantasy Football Scout website and go to the team news page at the top of the site, and you will find predicted lineups for every single team. Some of them have been updated already based on yesterday's press conferences. Some have been updated on the morning press conferences. And basically, that's where Neil's heading now to make sure that everything is in fine fettle, ready for the big influx of managers having a look at that page. If you've not checked it out before, do have a look. It is very, very useful. And of course, if you've liked this video, hit the like button. If you've enjoyed it, it's useful to know that you find it useful. Subscribe to the channel and hit that bell notification so you don't miss a thing. Well, that's everything from me, Neil, unless there's anything else you wanted to add before you jump back into the just utter chaos that is team news on a Friday afternoon.
I don't think so, David. No, just thank you, everybody who's watched today, and thanks for the comments as well down the side. I've tend not to read them during the video because my computer can't handle it any more bandwidth than necessary, but they are appreciated, and I thank you very much for your kind words.
Yeah, and echo those. Absolutely, it's always good to have you guys join us. And just one last reminder, of course, that we're going to have a deadline stream. I'm going to be joined by Sam from the FPL family, as I was last week, from 5 p.m. So if you've got questions about what all of this team new stuff means for decisions in your team, I can see that Joel Vincent wants some information on Akanji, for example, and what to do there. Join us there, and we can talk about it in more detail. But with that, we shall leave you fine folks to enjoy the rest of your Friday afternoon tinkering, and we shall see you very shortly.